If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the cry of the Christian on Easter morning and through Eastertide. The long fast of Lent is over and the feast of Easter is here. Life conquers death. Light conquers darkness. Righteousness conquers sin. Humility conquers pride. Meekness conquers wrath. And heaven conquers hell. As Christ, very God of very God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, the third day rose again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. After his resurrection, all of Christ's teachings and healings and miracles could now be reviewed for generations and centuries and millennia with gasps of awe at the significance that the resurrection infused into every one of those acts. And the theologians say yes. For not only Christ's acts, but that the Old Testament is now fulfilled and the history of God's people are summed up in that resurrection. And all artists may now say yes, for now that inclination towards light and color and life and wonder is justified, and without any sorrowful irony, wonder may be restored about all creation, and the yearly seasonal spring resurrection of life in the earth is summed up, as finally the shepherd leads the flock of all his creation out of death once and for all. And the philosophers may say, yes, with Socrates, who had predicted the sacrifice of a perfect man, with Plato, who had seen the unmoved mover and hoped for participation in God, and as Aristotle, who had seen essence and significance in all created things, in all particulars, they may all now rejoice to see life burst forth from that tomb in Jerusalem. Even the psychologists, the therapists, the sociologists, the counselors say yes, as Christ attests to the hope that even from the darkest low, life can rise again. But the resurrection of Christ is not simply useful or handy as a help towards some other notion of truth or health or life. Rather, on that resurrection day, the veil between God and man was drawn back, and one could see with the naked eye a perfect manifestation of the reality that undergirds all creation and all history. It's more than useful. The resurrection of Christ is a vision of the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The faithful cry out with relief that the truth was finally dramatically revealed. And it's better than good news. It's the best news of all time. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But we are silly to ignore that there are many today who cannot and will not say those words along with us. The skeptics say now, as they always have, that Jesus was not God. He was just a man like all of us. And some skeptics go so far as to try and make the case that Jesus never existed at all. But that's a pretty hard sell. And so other philosophers seem to win the day by suggesting that Jesus was merely a historical figure upon whom were foisted all the composite hopes of a terrified human race that faces sure and certain mortal fate. Such claims are exceedingly plausible to the scientific mind, for historical claims can be made and accepted about anything and anyone. But Jesus Christ, being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, with a virgin birth, miraculous works, a perfect life, and most incomprehensible of all claims, a bodily resurrection from the dead, the modern mind says, these are the inventions of a cowardly people, who lack the spine to peer over the edge of the abyss into the dark nothingness and death, and who will not sound a brave and defiant shout into that abyss, but flee reality and create a story about Jesus the Messiah. To these, a fully mature human being is one who accepts that their own existence is futile, with no cosmic meaning, and yet gets to work making the most of the train wreck of their own birth before the holocaust of their own death. To such as these, who will accept only emptiness as the final reality, they say that Jesus existed surely enough as Alexander the Great or Napoleon. He was as real as you and me, but he was simply a great teacher. You ever heard that? Innocently crucified by nervous Romans and anxious Jews for the same reason anyone does anything in this world, because they were afraid, and Jesus was causing them trouble. This is the Jesus of the unbeliever. Thus far and no farther, the spirit of the age reduces her proponents to the range of their own vision and their own experience, insisting there could not have been a virgin birth, for we've never witnessed a virgin birth. And most importantly, there could not have been a resurrection, for not only have we never witnessed one, but, and I believe this may be the subconscious reason, that would just be too good, too close to exactly what we need, too wonderful, too hopeful. That light would be too bright. If we were to believe in the resurrection, we would risk our hearts bursting with awe. We would be forced to genuflect, and we cannot bear to hope like that or look upon a light so bright. And so the world says, no, Christ is himself simply an invented parable about recovering from hard times. And he's a fable about our best hopes for the crucifixion of our own fretful lives on this earth, thus far and no farther. The Alpha and Omega stretch only to the limits of our field of vision and only to the extent of the reach of our short little arms. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is not the Christ. The Alpha and the Omega is me. This Easter, we must look more closely at the name given to Jesus in the book of Revelation, that Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. We must acknowledge that for us, there is mystery about the beginning and the end of Christ's life. A mystery that is not discovered, it is revealed. And what is revealed to us about Christ is this, that Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. The womb of the Virgin Mary was sealed, and yet he was conceived. And he came to us in the mystery of a virginal conception, a womb that no man had known. Alpha, the beginning. And it was not only the womb that was sealed, but the tomb was sealed. And yet he rose again within that sealed tomb, without witness, hidden from our eyes again. Omega. The Alpha and the Omega of Christ's life are sealed to us. But now see the entirety of Christ's human life amongst us and draw back to encompass the view of all time, the beginning long ago and the end which is yet to come. Pull back and recognize that about the beginning of all things, the unbeliever must be quite silent. This is beyond the view. There is no answer. It cannot be discovered. It can only be revealed. One is sure that Christ's life could not have begun with a virgin birth, but when asked, how have all things come to be then? Why is there something and not nothing? No answer can be given but a shifting, squirming silence. For listen closely, the creation of all things was a virgin birth. Every plant, every nebula, every planet, every galaxy, every star, every ocean, every tree, every creature in heaven and earth, all things, including you and I, when traced back to their beginnings, we are all descendants from one great virgin birth. Today, the virgin birth is all around us. And in Christ, the Alpha, the beginning, this truly was simply epitomized. It was a revelation. His virgin birth proclaims to us that it is not we, but He who is the Alpha, the beginning. His virgin birth matches the virgin birth of all things, out of nothing. Now we see in the grand scheme how the virgin birth of all things has already happened and how it matches the life of Jesus Christ, the Alpha. Today we now live wondering about the end of all things, which has not yet happened, the Omega. And we are desperate for a sign. If our beginning was a virgin birth, what can be our ending? Today, we receive the sign. On this day, on Easter Day, we cast our eyes forward to the Omega, to the end of all things. And the key, as if the key to all things, the key to the understanding of our own final end, just as the ultimate beginning in a sealed womb, is to finally believe the revelation about what happened in that sealed tomb. Those who have been forced to silence about the virgin birth of creation are forced to silence again about the end, for they have no sign. But those who believe have a sign. Our sign is Jesus Christ. The banner that goes before us is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He has shown us that the beginning of all things is a miraculous virgin birth, and the end, the Omega. On that first Easter day, the world was shown that the end is resurrection. It is new life. It is Christ as victor. May the cry of the Christian on this day silence the whole world. Let the whole world together today genuflect for the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, for life conquers death, righteousness conquers sin. Humility conquers pride, meekness conquers wrath, and heaven conquers hell as Christ, very God of very God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.